You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
Welcome to Managing Technology the Right Way with your host, Sun Jogal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the hosts, guests, and callers. Now showing you how to manage technology the right way, here's Sun Jogal.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to the show. It needs careful planning and flawless execution to make technology work for us. But how many times do we succeed? On this show, we invite business leaders and subject matter experts with extensive experience in technology management. The intent here is to learn from their experience and discuss better ways to manage technology. To learn more about the show, please visit talkshow.avval.com. That is talkshow.avval.com. Today's topic is Digital Divide. Our guest for today's show is Sam Pitroda. Sam is the chairman and CEO of WorldTel Limited, an international telecom union initiative to build telecommunications infrastructure in emerging markets. He is also the chairman and founder of several high-technology startup companies in the U.S., Europe, and India. In the year 2000, Mr. Pitroda was invited by Secretary General of United Nations to join a special advisory committee on information and communications technology to address the global digital divide. In 1987, Sam was the advisor to Prime Minister of India with the rank of a minister on national technology missions related to drinking water, literacy, immunization, oil seeds, milk, and telecom. He was the first founding chairman of the Telecom Commission in India, responsible for national and international telecom operations, policies, and administrations with over 500,000 employees. Sam holds over 50 worldwide patents. He has lectured extensively on telecom technology and development in the Americas, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and has been featured in numerous newspapers, magazines, radio, and television programs world over. Good morning, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Now, how is Chicago weather treating you? It's pretty freezing
here. It's pretty cold. It's pretty cold, but it's okay. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, definitely. My pleasure. Let's quickly understand a little bit about digital divide, because actually when we decided to do the show, I was discussing with a couple of people. They somehow did not get the complete definition of digital divide. What does it mean? Because as I understand, it is where some people have all the cutting-edge technology and they're using it and making money as well as having a better standard of living, whereas some people don't have even a basic infrastructure. How do you define digital divide?
Digital divide is all about divide in information communication technology. And to manage information and communications technology the right way, you need to focus on infrastructure, access, applications, and content. All of these four things managed well will have far-reaching implications on quality of life, education, health, governance, public service. And as a result, the digital divide that we talk of today is not only about information and communications technology. It is also about divide in basic needs. It is about the difference between information rich and information poor. And digital divide is a global concern. There is a digital divide in Chicago. There is a digital divide in Illinois. There is a digital divide in U.S. And there is a digital divide between U.S. and Africa, between Asia and Latin America. And also there is a digital divide sometimes within the family, between young and old, between tech-savvy and not-so-tech-savvy. And I think it has become a new tool in the information age to really drive prosperity and improve quality of life.
So when we talk about access, and especially when you mentioned about this, there could be a digital divide within the family, so then we are not talking about the power to be able to acquire these means, that is technology infrastructure. It is the ability or the knowledge and the skills to be able to use that. Is that what
exactly,
you would say?
Exactly. You know, it's a question of Let's say, for example, computer. How is computer being used by one person versus another person? You know, the traditional definition of digital divide got connected with only telephone instrument. How many phones you have in the country? And now the definition has to change based on how well you use and apply information technology for your own growth. I think it's important to look at some of the statistics because this will put things in perspective. For example, in 2003, the IT or information communications technology economy was 1.4 trillion. The 1.1 billion telephones and 1.3 billion mobile phones. It took 120 years to get to, I believe, 100 million phones, and it took about 10 years. No, a billion phones, and it took about 10 years to get to billion phones. So number of phones definitely is one unit that sort of is being used for digital divide. Say in 1991, there were 550 million landlines, regular telephones, and there were only 16 million mobile phones. And now, the whole thing has changed. Take, for example, PCs. In 1991, there were 130 million PCs. 2003, there were 670 million PCs. 1991, there were 4 million internet users. 2003, there were 670 million. So I think it is not just about telephones anymore. It's about PCs, wireless world, access, application, content. I think the whole thing has changed in the last 10 years. And that's the key factor we need to keep in mind when we discuss digital divide. Let's go a little further and see that number of phones for 100 people in Africa today is only 2.7, while in US it is 65, in Europe it is 41, world average is 18. So you know for sure that in Africa we do not have enough connectivity, access to information, knowledge, education, and that in turn reflects in GDP, GNP, poverty, all of the other issues, health. China has done extremely well. In 1995, China had only 40 million landlines, and today China has something like 300 million landlines. Couple of 100 million mobile phones. So traditionally, we know that if you're rich, you have lots of phones, and if you have lots of phones, you're bound to be rich. And I think this connection is really all about digital divide.
So when you mentioned about phone and still as you mentioned that, you know, the description of how we measure digital divide should not be only based on phones, it should be also PCs. Let's look at it that this way, that phone is a necessary thing, almost like, you know, it's a backbone of what we use. But PC, on the other hand, is a passive device. Yes, we are using it for our day-to-day lives, and to an extent we're getting addicted to it. The same way the way we were addicted, or we are addicted to phone. But still, we see a long way to go before people adopt PC as something that it's in every home. But guess what? You'd find either a college kid or a school kid using it, or the father coming from the office, or maybe mom would just go there and sit with the kid and do something like that. And it's not a sexist approach or anything. I'm saying there are not always all the family members using it, but for the phone becomes the mode of communication for everybody. So. Do you really think that, you know, in the information age, the PCs, the number of PCs would also start getting, they'll also start becoming a measure of the digital divide?
Absolutely. You know, let's understand that computers traditionally have been used to improve productivity and efficiency in the corporate world. Computers have been used by government, again, to improve productivity, efficiency, collect data, information, storage, and all that. But today, because of internet, computers can be used for education, health information, improving governance, connecting people in remote areas. So it is no longer about voice connectivity. Take, for example, the revolution on SMS. I travel a great deal, like many of us, and at some airports, international airports, especially if I go to, you know, Japan or go to Europe, I see these young kids constantly sending SMS messages. They are connected. There is not necessarily the voice connection in terms of information transfer. It is the same media. So the distance between voice and data has been bridged. SMS revolution has been one of the biggest revolution in the last decade. Give you an example. My daughter right now is visiting and spending some time in Mumbai. She was born and raised in Chicago. On an average month, she spends 900 to 1,000 SMS messages. That means 30 a day. Where are you? Dad, call me. And this allows you to be in control. And this also allows you to be aware of your surrounding. And this should be an important aspect of connectivity. It is not just about voice connectivity. So I think the definition of digital divide has to change to include not only internet. To me, now it should be wireless internet.
Yes, that's the next step.
Because it has already arrived, and it's
right.
going to make an important contribution in how we really conduct our day-to-day life. I mean, if you really take a larger view, as we have moved away from capital-intensive industrial base to knowledge-intensive information or information-intensive knowledge-based economy, information anywhere, anytime, any place is very valuable. Time is becoming a very precious resource. Everybody is very busy doing lots of things because there are lots of things to do. And as a result, we must keep in mind that on one hand, you are going from telephone to data to internet to wireless connectivity, mobile internet, and all that. And on the other hand, you really need to pay attention to content and applications. In old days, in Chicago, at least when I came here in 64, there were four or five major television channels. Today, there are hundreds of channels. And sometimes you wonder, in spite of all that, there is nothing to watch. You know, so you can improve infrastructure access, but if the content is not right, if the applications are not right,
Yeah,
it doesn't have the value.
That's very true. Let's move on to the next question, where we talk about digital divide, and you, as you mentioned, and it starts from the family and it can go international. What is the level of digital divide that is normally seen in developed countries like America, and how is it compared to other developing countries, or how is it compared to other developed countries as well as not so developed countries? But before we delve into this topic further, let's take a quick break. So,
okay.
Listeners, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us. Whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation, we back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Fearless Leadership is not just a show title, it's a way of life. With your host, Dr. Valenti, you will learn how to apply leadership skills to your everyday life. On the show, Dr. Valenti will discuss topics from overcoming fear to building confidence. So won't you tune in to Fearless Leadership every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Come see what all the talk is about. www.voiceamerica.com. It's what you've been missing.
Are you looking to take advantage of the benefits that the cutting-edge technology of today can provide? If so, you need to tune in to the IT Perspective with Mick Macwell every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On the show, Mick will fill you in on what technologies are up and coming in today's business world, as well as make you aware of some possible consequences to a bad IT investment. Technology is the topic, and Mick Macwell has the answers to your complex IT questions. So won't you please join Mick every Tuesday at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the IT Perspective, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective. Do you want real business talk radio? Then listen to Getting Down to Business, heard every Friday at 1 p.m. On the show, your host, Professor Phil, will have featured guests that are business consultants, managers, and professors who can help to bridge the gap between the workplace and the classroom. Once again, that's Getting Down to Business with Professor Phil, every Friday at 1 p.m., right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Let's get down to business.
You're listening to BusinessAmericaRadio.com, the leader in live business talk radio.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is digital divide. Our guest for today's show is Sam Pitroda. Sam is the chairman and CEO of WorldTel Limited, an international telecom union initiative to build telecommunications infrastructure in emerging markets. He is also the chairman and founder of several high-technology startup companies in the U.S., Europe, and India. In the year 2000, Mr. Pitroda was invited by Secretary General of United Nations to join a special advisory committee on information and communications technology to address the global digital divide. In 1987, Sam was the advisor to Prime Minister of India with the rank of a minister on national technology missions related to drinking water, literacy, immunization, oilseeds, milk, and telecom. He was the first founding chairman of the Telecom Commission in India, responsible for national and international telecom operations, policies, and administrations with over 500,000 employees. Mr. Pitroda holds over 50 worldwide patents. He has lectured extensively on telecom, technology, and development in the Americas, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and has been featured in numerous newspapers, magazine, radio, and television programs world over. Before the break, we discussed about the different types of digital divides where Sam mentioned about digital divides starting from your family and across the borders, the national borders. And then the follow-up question that I had asked was, what is the level of digital divide that we see within a country which is developed versus which is underdeveloped, and compared to a comparison of one developed country's digital divide versus another? And Sam, please share your thoughts with us on that.
Thanks. In U.S., we have been really leading the information revolution world over. We have provided to the world best of the best microprocessors, best of the best software, and I think all of the major innovations have really taken roots in US. Hardware, software, systems, application. But at the same time, we are not necessarily ahead of everybody in applying it. So let's just look at US first. We have a very large base in US for ICT technology. We have the largest number of PCs, very large number of mobile phones, large number of internet access. So I would say we are at the top. Then if you compare ourselves with Japan and then Europe, especially Western Europe, you find that Japanese are further along in mobile revolution. Europeans are also further along in mobile revolution, partly because their wireline infrastructure was not as good as ours in US, partly because they didn't have as many PCs as we have had in US. So they've been able to leapfrog. Everyone talks about NTT Docomo's iMode applications and wireless world and, you know, wireless data. And I think it's clear that Japan is leading the wireless application revolution. Japanese youngsters, it's the technology of the young, are very comfortable with new toys. And they have been able to come up with a lot of interesting new applications. I believe we are about 24 months behind in US in internet wireless applications, maybe a little more. So when you look at these three major developed part of the world, you have these differences. Then the next level would be between developed and developing. And there you have a very large gap, because there you don't have the real infrastructure in place in many parts of the developing world. And it has a lot to do with cost. In communications, cost per line did not change for almost 30 years. When I started in telephone business in 1965, cost per line was roughly $1,000. Electromechanical exchange, electromechanical hardware, but you had to pull wires, telephone, all that. Then in 70s, we started digital revolution. Unfortunately, cost per line remained same, but we got 100 new features, call forwarding and campon and, you know, you name it. Then things were software, so flexibility got increased. But the cost remained same. And as a result, developing world could not really afford large number of telephones. If you want to install a million lines of telephones, you need $1 billion. And a lot of this technology was outside, so you had to import it. And they really didn't have the foreign exchange hard currency to do all that. It is only in last 5 years, cost per line has gone down substantially. Today, if you have CDMA network, you can probably install infrastructure for $150 a line or even less and buy a handset for $50 or $75, then you're in business. The beauty of wireless infrastructure is that you don't need to dig streets and lay cables. In developing world, I learned that to need permission to dig streets, municipalities will get involved and bureaucracy would, you know, put roadblocks, and sometimes there'll be corruption. And with wireless, you just put your boxes in place, put your antenna on top of some buildings, and you are instantly in business. So what used to take 18 months to 3 years to install infrastructure now can be done in 6 weeks if you had the hardware. And as a result, developing world has been far behind, but it's catching up very quickly. People are now not really going after the landlines. In Africa, number of mobile phones have increased probably to 100 million, and landlines are, you know, very little. So future is definitely going towards wireless infrastructure. Once technology gives us wireless internet, then I think this gap would be reduced substantially. I hope this sort of gives you an overview of the difference between developed and developing.
No, definitely. This was an eye-opener in many respects. And I was also thinking about this wireless when you mentioned, and this kind of makes sense because of the fact that in developing countries where there's more bureaucracy and, you know, there are roadblocks created by politicians and, you know, other people who are connected to allowing the infrastructure to be created. We are talking about suddenly there's a boom of all these wireless phones, and the technology is much better, and in fact the usage is much more compared to what we even see in some of the developing countries, including, you know, United States of America. And that's the reason is because people were already fed up. They had much more need, but that was not fulfilled. Suddenly this came out as a big solution to what the problem they had.
And also, I think I must emphasize at this point that information and communication infrastructure is the infrastructure of the infrastructure. If you don't have communication infrastructure in place, you cannot manage and maintain infrastructure for water, health, education, governance. And I think if you don't put information infrastructure in the beginning, the productivity and efficiency of all other institutions just remain where it is today. You know, we talk about death of distance. Information technology has really increased the reach of the community and also increased the richness of the content.
So actually, this to quite an extent answers my question, which I was about to ask next, was when we talk about the digital divide issue, especially in the developing countries, the more pressing issues are related to providing food, clothing, and shelter to people. Now, if they don't have these basic needs met as per the Maslow's law, you know, those guys would not actually be interested. Okay, I have a cell phone, but I don't know where am I going to get the next meal. So
the point is, you don't go and distribute cell phones to poor who doesn't have food and they are begging on the street. That's not the idea. In any society, to me, the important starting point is literacy, especially female literacy. The development indicators invariably emphasize the fact that if female illiteracy is high and infant mortality is low, there'll be, to some extent, population control, and also educated female would make sure that everybody in the family has enough education, literacy, to feel confident about themselves. It's all about empowering people. So can you use ICT technology to improve literacy? That's one. Two, even to distribute food, there may be a lot of food around. I know in India, for example, food distribution is a major, major issue. There is excess food, but does it reach everybody? In Rajiv Gandhi's government, I worked on immunization, where you have to deliver vaccine. We had to immunize 20 million children and 20 million pregnant women every year in India. Now, how do you distribute this vaccine? It has to be in the cold chain equipment, because temperatures are so high that if it is not properly managed, it is no longer potent. So So if you don't have good information infrastructure saying, has vaccine arrived? When did it arrive? Where is it? How much it is to be distributed? Where does it go? If you don't have that, then it really does not help to distribute vaccine, because the delivery mechanism will fail. So you provide better ICT for health. It is not about really distributing everybody a phone. It is about access to telephone. My work in India focused on what we call STD PCOs. In other words, when I went to India in early 80s to work on telecommunications, I quickly realized that there is no way you can give telephone to every household in India. Because then there were 2 million telephones in the entire country. And if we had to increase for a country of then 700 million it to 10 million, we needed $10 billion. It was not available. So we came up with a model to improve access. So provide phones in every street corner, at a tea shop, at a grocery store, at bus stand. So people don't have to have telephone, but they can have access to telephone. And I think similar logic also applies to internet access. You need to empower people by giving them information.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, Sam, and let's continue our thoughts after this break.
Thank you.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Avval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom-line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Avval can help your company, visit www.avval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Avval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
It's 11 p.m., and it's just been reported that your company's product has allegedly caused a house fire and there are injuries. What do you do? Are you prepared for a critical PR situation? For tips on these situations and more, tune in to AMPR with your hosts Karen Barnett and Lara Cohn, heard every Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Karen and Lara will discuss public relations issues and other media-related topics. So if you want a broad-based knowledge of public relations, listen to AMPR, heard every Thursday at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Where are you now, and where do you want to go? If you're looking for help with creating a successful career path, listen to Navigating Corporate America with Barbara David every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Barbara and her guests will offer success strategies for every career stage and discuss the proper ways to set goals. Learn how to get ahead and stay ahead by joining Barbara on Navigating Corporate America every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Find your path to success today.
If you've ever had an interest in the lucrative world of real estate or have a question on how to get the most money for your properties, you need to tune in to the Real Estate Investors Forum with your host, Lillian Villanova, every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. On the show, Lillian will discuss a variety of topics, from finding the best deals in real estate to minimizing your losses in a bad investment. Once again, that's the Real Estate Investors Forum with Lillian Villanova, every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Create your multi-million-dollar portfolio right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Stuck in neutral? Then shift into high gear and get your life moving in the right direction by listening to The Acceleration Zone with Carla Robertson. Broadcast live every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, Carla Robertson, the owner of Shifting Gears, will demystify the term coaching and show you what a business coach can do for you. Gain positive momentum. Get into gear. Listen to The Acceleration Zone with Carla Robertson every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Get in the zone.
keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjog Gall.
Welcome back to the show, folks. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is Digital Divide, and our guest for today's show is Sam Petroda. Sam is the chairman and CEO of WorldTel Limited, an international telecom union initiative to build telecommunications infrastructure in emerging markets. He is also the chairman and founder of several high-technology startup companies in the U.S., Europe, and India. Sam was invited by Secretary General of the United Nations to join a special advisory committee on information and communications technology to address the global digital divide. In 1987, Sam was advisor to Prime Minister of India with the rank of a minister on national technology missions related to drinking water, literacy, immunization, oilseeds, milk, and telecom. He was the first founding member of the telecom commissions in India, responsible for national and international telecom operations, policies, and administrations with over 500,000 employees. Sam holds over 50 worldwide patents. He also lectured extensively on telecom technology and development in the Americas, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and has been featured in numerous newspapers, magazines, radio, and television programs world over. Before the break, we basically discussed about the digital divide between developing and developed world, and also we were talking about the basic needs being fulfilled or not, and then we found that, you know, just because a digital divide or the usage of PCs and usage of wireless communication is basically making the infrastructure which is required for further providing the dissemination of vaccines or other healthcare related services, it was made possible just because there was underlying communication infrastructure. Now, we wanted to move on to the next question about the Catch-22 that we have, where we are talking about regulating the technology, but on the other hand, just the regulation would be further aggravating the problem of digital divide. So would love to listen to your thoughts about this, Sam.
I think world over now, telecom technology is fairly deregulated in terms of privatization. Traditionally, all telephone companies were owned by the governments. The deregulation process started in 1984 when we in U.S. decided to break up AT&T, which was then the largest company in the world with 1 million employees and 26th largest asset base in the world. Having taken that step, world over, people started looking at their telecom monopolies and started to give out pieces to private, took some of those on the stock market. British Telecom was the next major example, and then it started in Europe, but it took about a decade. Now, world over, telecom is privatized. There are regulations in terms of spectrum ownership, spectrum auctions, and all that, and that's also changing. In a sense, this is a borderless technology. Unfortunately, it is being managed by people mindful of borders. Regulation keeps changing in the industry based on push and pull from the industry, different vested interests, broadband, wireless, applications, content, you name it. And regulation now is such that lot many more people are able to participate in telecom revolution as opposed to handful of government monopolies. The other one important point that I sort of ought to mention here is that information technology brings about openness, accessibility, connectivity, networking, democratization, decentralization, and as a result, social transformation. It integrates many technologies. And as a result, certain kind of human activities which were not possible before are possible now. Give you an example, if you are discussing an environmental issue, you can connect all environmental activists from all over the world instantly on internet for a common cause. So all local events become international instantly. A lot of these technologies were not integrated earlier. Now everything is sort of getting integrated into a broadband access. And as a result, I believe it is changing social patterns, social behaviors. Work at home is changing. Interaction within families are changing. Information anywhere, anytime, any place has multiple forms. It changes the way we meet, the way we mate, the way we work, the way we buy. Look at eBay. Auctions, the way we sell things. People sell cars on internet. The way we create new ideas, the way we invent, the way we govern, and to some extent, the way we fight. Look at the amount of technology used in Iran, Iraq. Some changes are beneficial, some are not very beneficial. But I think we all accept the fact that in the last 20 years, information and communication technology has changed our lives in a very significant way.
So let's talk about this corporate world's, you can say, investment of corporate world into helping bridge this digital divide. We know that mostly whenever it comes to be a profit motivated activity, they would jump on it, or if there's a federal mandate, they would jump on it. But anything which hints as a social benefit, they would shy away. I would not say it's not a generalization, but mostly that's the trend that has been seen.
No, but that's their job. They are in the business to make money. They are not in the charity business, so I don't blame them.
Yes, and I know I'm not blaming them either. Yeah, the only thing which I was looking at is that there's definitely, maybe not a direct, but an indirect impact of the digital divide being bridged.
So there is a huge business potential in bridging digital divide. There is a lot of money to be made in taking information to developing world. There is a lot of money to be made even in U.S. to improve our health system using better information technology. Look at the amount of money we spend in this country in information related to health. I know, unfortunately, I have to go to hospital on and off. And every time I go, the amount of paperwork that I have to go through.
Yes,
same information over and over again. They give me 5 copies of this. Go to X-ray department. Go to blood test department. It is ridiculous. Okay. So there is no reason for us to have that today in this day and age. Technology is available. If we use information technology effectively, I guarantee that we can cut down health cost by 3-4%. You know, today it is something like 16% of the GNP. It could be 12%. That's billions and billions.
For sure.
Okay. So digital divide is an opportunity. It is not a social work. It is not a work only for the non-government organizations. It is a profit-making activity. On one hand, it's a social leveler, which brings two unequal societies on equal footing if you have equal information infrastructure. On the other hand, it's a great business opportunity where you don't have information infrastructure. You see that as a huge market. And where you have information infrastructure, like in US, there is still a huge market to improve it substantially. Like the example I gave on the health industry.
I definitely see that there's a lot of money to be made, and corporations can definitely benefit from that. And I was thinking only indirectly, but you brought up some very important points which would actually make it a direct impact on their bottom line if they were to take an active participation.
Sure. Look and, at the banking. Know, the free- maybe after the break we can talk about banking a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you.
Looking for ways to improve your IT department? Then visit www.avval.com today. Aval is a professional services firm with a mission to help companies align IT with their business objectives through strategy, technology, branding solutions, and services. Our commitment is to ensure bottom line improvements as a result of services rendered by us, whether it's an IT needs assessment, strategy development, or related implementation. We back it up by our unconditional, positive ROI guarantee. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, making IT work and look better. www.avval.com. Visit today.
Answer Man, how may I help you?
Yeah, Answer Man, I don't know whether to sell my stock or buy more. What should I do?
I think you should buy, diversify, and hold.
Wow, thanks, Answer Man. How did you know that?
Because I'm the Answer Man. Well, okay, I'll tell you. Conscious investing.
Conscious investing?
That's right, conscious investing with Ross Hoffman and Jason Griffith. I called into the show with a question, and they helped me achieve clarity with my business planning. I'll tell you what, Jason and Ross really know their stuff, and they can help you with your stock question. Catch them every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time on Business America Radio.
Thanks, Answer Man.
Look, you don't have to be the Answer Man to know where to get all of your financial questions answered. Just tune in to Conscious Investing every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Tired of all those boring coaching shows that leave you feeling worse about yourself? Then tune in to Coaching and Common Sense with Dr. Mark Notestein every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Dr. Mark provides unique perspectives on life and career coaching and uses humor and common sense to get his points across. Listen, learn, and laugh with Dr. Mark Notestein on Coaching and Common Sense every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com. Talk radio with a business perspective.
Are you looking for great tips and innovative ideas on how to grow your business? Then tune in to Business America Radio every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for the Action Hour. Hosted by Mike Murarkey and Don Hartwell, the Action Hour is a fast-paced show designed to help you and your business achieve maximum results. We will talk about a wide variety of topics from making a good first impression to attracting perfect clients. So if you're ready for some action, join Mike Murarkey and Don Hartwell for the Action Hour every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Politics, education,
walking and talking.
Come see what all the talk is about. www.voiceamerica.com. It's what you've been missing.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
We now return to Managing Technology the Right Way. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to the show. Here's Sun Jogal.
Welcome back to the show. For listeners who've just tuned in, today's topic is Digital Divide, and our guest for today's show is Sam Pitroda. Sam is the chairman and CEO of Voltel Limited, an international telecom union initiative to build telecommunications infrastructure in emerging markets. He's also the chairman and founder of several high-technology startup companies in the U.S., Europe, and India. In the year 2000, Sam was invited by the Secretary General of United Nations to join a special advisory committee on information and communications technology to address the global digital divide. In 1987, Sam was the advisor to the Prime Minister of India with the rank of a minister on national technology missions related to drinking water, literacy, immunization, oil seeds, milk, and telecom. He was the first founding chairman of the Telecom Commission in India, responsible for the national and international telecom operations, policies, and administrations with over 500,000 employees. Sam holds over 50 worldwide patents. He has lectured extensively on telecom technology and development in the Americas, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and has been featured in the numerous newspapers, magazines, radio, television programs world over. Before the break, we had discussed about how the corporations can get involved and actually add something to their bottom line while bringing about a social change or helping the society bridge this digital divide. So please continue your thoughts, Sam.
No, for example, we talked on health. Let's take an example of banking. Without the information and communication technology, it will not be possible today to run any of the stock markets in the world, any of the banks in the world. The movement of billions of dollars that take place every day, globally, within the country, between the countries, is all because of information communications technology. Think of countries who don't have this versus countries where you have this infrastructure in place. How quickly money moves, how economy turns around. At the same time, when I look at the processes today, I'm convinced that all of these processes are based on our concept of 20th century work. In 21st century, work is going to be very different from the work we had in the past. As a result, every major process is going to change in the next decade or two because of wireless internet technology. I know a little more about the transaction business. Take, for example, financial transactions. Millions of people in US send money overseas to their parents and relatives on West Coast, people living in Mexico, people living in California from Mexico send money to Mexico. How do they send money today? Western Union. How is that process? Can it be done on cellular phone? All of these questions are related to how we are going to use information technology to transform all our old models into new models of management, governance, learning, health delivery services, payment, legal processes. There is a massive change going on in the world. I don't think every citizen is even aware of it. World is just coming out of 20th century mindset. And that mindset was based on war, conflicts, power, control, command. This is the value system that we learned in the past, which guides our leadership. I think the next generation of leadership is going to be very different. Open, accessible, networked, democratic. And this is the foundation of new leadership that IT is forcing. And as a result, I see a new world order. Today, US is the global leader. Equations were different in the bipolar world. In the unipolar world, everyone is looking to US for leadership and for direction. There is no alternate global power, and I believe there will be alternate global power evolving out of information technology people who are going to be connected, irrespective of where they are. They could be in Africa, they could be in Latin America, they could be in Alaska. And they would influence policy world over. This, to me, is the biggest benefit of digital revolution. You know, people call this smart mob. In Philippines, for example, government was thrown because people took their cell phones and started sending SMS messages, and they all got connected, and sort of demonstration was created, and that created public opinion. In recent WTO conference, all the interest groups who were fighting WTO viewpoint got connected on internet, cell phones, SMS, and created huge pressure group. So this process is already underway, where information technology is creating alternate global powers. These are all over, and over a period of time, governments will have to pay attention to these global powers. It's an alternate way of influencing policies. So to me, lot of new changes are going on. I mean, the whole process of this business outsourcing going to India, a lot of people concerned in US, not really understanding that it is good for US. Every dollar spent outside probably creates productivity and efficiency here as well. So there is going to be a redistribution of wealth, but there is also going to be creation of new wealth. And it's hard for average person to grasp all this. It needs a lot more understanding of the impact of information technology on the society. So it is not just about microprocessors and softwares and wireless and cell phones. It is about how you use it, who uses it, what do you do with it, what kind of applications are created, and how do you influence larger policy issues which are in the interest of the mankind.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I would like to thank you, Sam, for sharing your thoughts and perspective about Digital Divide.
Thank you. Thank you for having me with you, and I've enjoyed, and I hope I've added a little bit to your viewers', you know, thought process as to what IT can do to enrich their lives, their community, and their society.
Thank you again. I urge all our listeners to participate as well, as that's going to be the key to the success of this show.
Thank you very much.
Sure. While we are moving at warp speed towards using technology for material advantage, we have a social and moral responsibility to help the others, not so fortunate individuals and groups who are deprived of even the basic technology infrastructure and related services. And as Sam mentioned, we can also include the application of technology to be as part of bridging this digital divide versus just providing the infrastructure. We should collectively work towards providing these people with the technology, information, and skills needed to help them reach their full potential, whether they are interested in getting a better education, seeking a better career, or building a better neighborhood. Tune in again on next Friday at 10 a.m. Central. The topic of our next show is Business Value of Technology in Real Estate Management. Our guest for the next show is Scott Morey. Scott is the Senior Vice President and CIO of Equity Office Properties Trust. Higher fixed costs, lower occupancy, and other related challenges make real estate management business highly competitive. That is where technology can play a key role in providing the required support, as well as in facilitating new offerings to keep the business sustainable and profitable. Let's listen to Scott to learn more about how Equity Office is using technology to maintain its status as the nation's largest publicly held office building owner and manager. Thank you again for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to Managing Technology the Right Way. Please join Sanjog Aul next Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.